Good morning. Welcome to church. My name's Justin. I think I already said that before, but to our online crew, welcome along. We're going to read from Exodus 15 today. Or we're going to read around Exodus 15. We're going to learn about why Exodus 15 is written the way it is written. We've been going through this series, which essentially is walking us through the Exodus of the people of Israel, the way they were freed from captivity and then had to walk into freedom. They were freed from captivity and then they had to walk into freedom. And that's the part of the journey I'm very, very interested in, because as we said last week, there's a long walk between being set free and walking free. Because being set free is a moment, walking free is a lifetime. Being set free is being set free from whatever is holding you captive, that bad habit, that thing that's getting between you and God. Even that moment of salvation that we talk about, the moment that we understand what surrender of our lives is about and we invite Jesus to lead our lives. That's a moment of salvation. It's a moment of freedom. It's a moment of escape. But then the walk that comes after that, that's the part I'm really interested in. How many people became a Christian and were good from then on? If there's anyone in here that's going to raise their hands, you can come do the preaching, all right? That's fine by me. But there's the reality of the faith life. Is that we do not walk around our community as beacons of holiness and righteousness and devoutness. We walk around our community saying, I have an anchor for my soul and a hope that does not disappoint. And I have a God who is never so far that he can't reach me. I have a God who is forgiving, who sees me as I am and forgives me as I am. So I wake up today with whatever happened tomorrow and I bring that to him and I lay it at his feet. I lay my burden down and I say, Jesus, can we start again today? Anybody ready to start again today? Anybody need to start again today? Yeah. I feel like I need to start again today. I want to remind you that the salvation walk is a being saved walk. It is not it's once and done kind of moment, because you need to grow and you need to mature. And we are about to see essentially the rebirth of the nation of Israel. Last week we talked about them going through that impossible trail where they literally walked through a body of water to get to the other side. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I haven't got this one on the screen for you, so you can look it up, but 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, this is from Paul, now I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. Curious, there's kind of a connection here between what we understand baptism is today and the image that was given to us of baptism. Essentially, baptism is a redemption process. And I want to give a quick shout out. On Easter Sunday, we're going to do a baptism service. Are you pumped? All right. So I'm excited about this because I love, as you know, I love when we get to do church a little bit messy. And on baptism Sunday, you can make everything wet. It's great. I'm wondering whether we can have little, you know, shooty guns in the... No, we won't do that. Although I did... Did you see during COVID the ministers that were squirty gunning their people to baptize them? Isn't it joyous? The Christian walk is a joyous walk. It's not a religious thing. It's a relationship thing. But we're going to do that on Easter Sunday. And I want to challenge you, if you hear a little nudge in your spirit while we're talking through these things over the next couple of weeks and you think, I've never done that. I've never gotten into that tank and made a public declaration of my faith in Christ. Can I encourage you to talk to your life group leader, talk to one of the elders, talk to one of the pastors, and just let us know. We're going to have lessons after the morning services. When I say lessons, it's just walking through the scriptural references of why we do what we do, and we want to baptize you because it's fun, because it's exciting. How many people have been to a baptism service? How many people have been in the tank at the baptism service? How many people think it's fun? Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's going to be fun. So this image is one of Israel being redeemed. They have come out of captivity, generations and generations of captivity, where they had lost all of the habit of how they did worship, where they'd lost all of the habit of how they did sacrifice and redemption practices. And the first thing that God does with them is he leads them into a place where, believe it or not, they are safer being trapped one side of the Red Sea than they would have been walking down the coastline through the Philistine territory where they would have been beaten up. And this amazing miracle happens, and they walk through the water and they come out the other side, and that's just the beginning. So I want to tell you, as much as we all are saying this today, we want to start again today, that actually has to be a decision that today I'm going to come up the other side of whatever it is and I'm going to leave the old behind. We talk about with the waters of baptism, it's this symbolism of the old person dies and the new person rises. As Christ was buried, we are buried with Christ and risen with him. It's a beautiful image, but that's the image that Paul draws on. And in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 10, it says, "And don't complain as some of them did, and were killed by the destroyer. These things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our instructions, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall. No temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation he will also provide a way out, so that you may be able to bear it." There's a whole lot in that. That's a whole other sermon. You can go and study that for yourself. But I wanted you to see that Paul picked up on this because it was very, very important that we understood that the things that happened in Exodus were there to teach us something. That's why we're going through the book. That's why it's important. That's why I want you to start today fresh. I don't want you to walk in a spirit of fear or a spirit of condemnation. I want you to start today fresh, knowing that the same God that was the cloud in front of them was the same God that led the people in the first church, that leads this church right now. The same Holy Spirit that was in them is in us. The same redemptive nature of God is still at work, and we can still be redeemed. Isn't that good news? I think that's better news than that. I just think it is. I just think it is. I'm looking at a few people that need redemption, baby. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Now, it's all right. I looked in the mirror this morning. It's okay. I know the real person that needs redemption. Exodus 15 is Moses' song. And whenever you see a song in the Old Testament especially, you see a moment that is there to remind you. It's kind of like the pillars that God made them set up when they crossed over places, and they set up pillars so that when they looked at the pillar, they were reminded of what God had done. This particular song is a reminder of how good God is. It's a reminder of what he did to get them through those waters. It's a reminder of how he led them and how he fought for them. And you write it in a song because a history book, how many people remember history in high school? How many people remember what you read? You know, someone says, when did that thing occur? And you're like, was it 1573 or 1585? And you're secretly Googling on the side. Songs are different than that. Songs, how many people understand what the word earworm means? It's not a disease. It's just that hook that gets caught in your head where suddenly you're walking along the street and you suddenly burst out and sing, "Hit me, baby, one more time." And you don't really know why that happened. It just kind of happens. That's an earworm, right? So this is a strophic poem that is written here for all of the English majors out there. We have repetitive phrases, and the repetitive phrases are there on purpose so that you remember. Moses stood and sang this song. Now, I thought I'd just check. I got my guitar here. I thought I can't do a sermon about, you know, songs and music without actually picking this thing up because, well, you know what I'm like. I'm slightly ADHD, AD, I don't know, whatever. How many people are there already? You're walking up the steps, you're back, you're doing whatever. But I thought, he got the eye of the tiger, fire, dancing through the fire, and I am a champion, and you're going to hear me. Oh, 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 oh. I'm telling you, this is bad. This is not the scripture part. This is not the scripture part. But what? You're the voice, try and understand it. Make a noise and make it clear. We're not gonna sit in silence. We're not gonna live with fear. And that's where the bagpipes start, yeah? So I just wanted to show you that earworms are there for a purpose. Now, you'll see that Moses is the kind of dude that wrote pretty cool songs. Pretty cool songs. Because actually, you've sung this one before. Hang on. I forgot to do this. Because I just want to see the reaction of I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. Are you aware at all that they made us sing that in Sunday school? And you're like, why? Why are we singing about people being thrown into the sea? It's scripture. It's there. It's just a weird thing to sing when you're six. Then Exodus 15, it's on the screen. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord, and they said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. He has thrown the horse and its rider into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. I love that line. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. This is my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior, the Lord is his name. Now let me explain to you why that's a genius bit of an opening lyric. He stated who God is. He stated how God works. And he stated why God works. Who God is, how God works, and why God works. Some of you have heard the lectures from a guy called Simon Sinek, that he's a business leader and a thought leader, and he talks about you've got to make sure that the customer knows the why. I don't want to know how your machine works because I don't care how it works. I just care if it does work. Don't ask me to build the machine. You certainly don't want me building the machine. But tell me why I need this thing and you've got me. When you understand why you need God, then you start each day with a fresh hope. And you start each day with that moment that goes, I remember why I need God. Because here's the human problem. You walk into a place of health. You walk into a place of rest. You walk into a place of calm. And the human habit is this. Gee, I'm clever. Look what I did. That's the human habit, right? And we walk around and think, I did that. God says, no, I made a way for you. I made the path for you. I opened the seas for you. I took you through that baptizing moment that saved you. And when you get to that place of peace, which does happen, believe it or not, that place of peace, you still need to praise. You still need to remember the why you follow God. Because otherwise it becomes a what, and you can get rid of a what. Yeah, whatever. Moses starts the song by saying who God is, how he works, and most of all, why he works. You have become my salvation. Verse 11 says this, Lord, who is like you among the gods? Remember, they'd been in Egypt. They'd seen all sorts of other worship, and they'd been asked to actually participate in that other worship. And it's that whole thing of as one writer said, you know, it took just a couple of days to get the Israelites out of Egypt, but it took a long time to get the Egypt out of the Israelites, yeah? We are being redeemed, we are being saved. Who is like you amongst the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness? There's that repetition. Revered with praises, performing wonders. Remember, they stood at the edge of the Red Sea and they forgot that he was a God who had performed wonders. He'd done it before, he would do it again. You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. With your faithful love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. And you will guide them to your holy dwelling with whose strength? Your strength. His strength. God's strength. He will lead us. Psalm 23, he will lead us beside quiet waters, yeah? He will help us lay down in green pastures. Remember that 1 Corinthians 10 says he will not push you to a point where you can't survive, especially if you remember who he is and why he is. I ask you this, if you're a Christian in the house or online, why are you a Christian? Have you ever stopped and just thought, why do I believe this? I remember why I responded the first time. I remember why Sunday became part of my diary. I remember why I, you know, have worship playlists or whatever it is, whatever the habits are that you've changed. I remember starting to read the Bible. Do you remember why? Because that's the only question. Because honestly, when you've walked a while and when things are going okay, especially, you think, oh, it's all right. Don't need this thing. But as we said last week, everything we talk about in our faith practice is exactly that, practice. Because there's a chance that you won't be able to get here every weekend. There's a chance that you won't work in an environment that upholds your values and your faith. There's a chance that you might be attacked. There's a chance that someone might reason you out of your faith. Here's what I've always said. If someone can reason you into faith, someone can reason you out of faith, right? Reason is, it's great to have a debate. But you can't debate with a heart that's been changed and a life that's been changed from the inside out. So change your thinking today. Reset and remember why you started. Remember those moments that made a difference and sing these songs. Those songs of deliverance, those songs of redemption that actually change who you are. What was your memory verse? Do you remember Psalm 106? Psalm 106 from last week said, give thanks to the Lord for he is and his love endures. That's right. That's what he does. His love endures forever. Philippians 1, I'm going to add this to your memory verses for this week. This is what he's doing. He is being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. That idea of completion is a beautiful one for me. I love that idea that this will be complete one day, right? But we also know that it is being completed all the time. And there are moments where someone's going to say, wow, you've really grown up. You've matured. Isn't that wonderful when you get told that? And God says, yeah, but I'm still working on them. I'm still working on them. I'm still changing them. I feel like the Holy Spirit is like that guy with a stick. He just pokes you every now and again. Is that too country a put of an analogy there? He just pokes you. I am doing a good work, but I will complete it. That's the promise. Why? Why does he do it? Galatians 1:5. Remember, it is for freedom that he has set us free. Stand firm then. And this is the part we didn't read last week, but applies. And I want you to remember this. Then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Do not let yourselves, do not let yourselves. It's your call to not let yourself be burdened by the yoke of slavery. Whatever it is that held you back from walking with God, whatever it is that held you captive, do not let yourself go back to that place. And again, Christian, human, I say to you, do not do that in your own strength either. That's why we do faith in community. That's why we pray for one another. That's why we hold up each other's arms. That's why we celebrate the church's birthday each year to say, we're still here. God's still doing a good work and he will continue it to completion. But you are to not let yourself fall under that yoke of slavery, because for freedom, you have been set free. That's why you have faith, because faith brings freedom. Amen. I always think that idea of what if everything was taken off you? What if you'd been held captive in a foreign land as the Israelites were? What if you came out with, sure, they came out with stuff, they were given stuff on the way out, cattle and sheep and all the things to sustain a community. But they had nothing of that had been their own, nothing historical, nothing that they could point to and say, that was my grandmother's. But do you know what I remember? Even though one of my grandmothers is not here anymore, I still remember the songs that she sang. I still remember the sound of her knitting needles. Actually, let's get really specific. I remember her brown reclining chair beside the gas heater that only ever had two elements on. You weren't allowed to put three on. A pot of tea, Scottish, really black, really, really black, like being there brewing for a week kind of tea, and the sound of the knitting needles. That's a song to me. When you remember how God has moved in your life, there's a soundscape around that. For me, I actually did it this morning. I was driving to church, and I said to Luca, can you just play some Delirious? Anybody grew up on Delirious? That's a worship band, by the way, not a alcohol-induced anything. What a friend I found, more faithful than a brother. It would break my heart to ever lose each other. Jesus, friend forever. It's the truncated version of it. But I could sing that song over and over, and it reminds me of all sorts of moments of worship, all sorts of moments of redemptive moments, all sorts of moments in church, listening. I don't know. I don't know about you. I'm never offended if you don't remember the sermon. That's okay. But I remember, I love when we remember the feeling of being with God's people. Can you imagine the feeling of getting through the Red Sea after generations and generations of captivity, after going through the torment of almost being released? It took all of those plagues to get Pharaoh's heart to soften and let the people go. And then when he did let the people go, he chased after them, and they were still in fear and timidity, and they were still shaking. And it wasn't until that final miracle where they escaped across a body of water and that baptizing moment happened and redemption was there and obvious to them. That was when they sang. Moses stood and sang. I read a quote this week, and we shared it with the staff earlier, and it's there for you. It says this: to worship in the light is a joy-filled act of faith. To worship in the dark is a faith-fueled act of war. Oh, every now and then, isn't that one of those? Just got me in the feels. To worship in the light is a joy-filled act of faith. To worship in the dark is a faith-fueled act of war. Wherever you are today, you can still worship. No matter what the light meter is saying in your life, you can still worship. Because it's either an act of joy or an act of war, and both things will get you to the why. Why did Moses sing? And I just want to go through this real quick. Moses started his life through no choice of his own, as all of us do. At a very young age, an edict from the emperor meant that his life was in danger. He had no choice over that. He was put in a basket and floated down a river. He had no choice over that. He was found by the princess of the land. He had no choice over that. He was adopted into a family. He had no choice over that. He was given rule and given title. He had no choice over that. He went out into the field and saw the Egyptians abusing the Israelites, and his heart broke and something changed in him, because his heart started to change. And suddenly he realized he had to make a choice. Up until this point, every other choice had been made for him. All the food had been fed to him. All the gifts had been given to him. All the care had been around him. His life, up to his best of his ability, knowledge, was quite a beautiful life. And it wasn't until his heart broke that God began to lead him, because he saw the pain in another's face and he related to it, and empathy and compassion kicked in. And I tell you, friends, empathy and compassion is beautiful, but it'll mess your life up. Because when empathy and compassion comes into your life, you have to put yourself second. You have to give up some of your comforts. You decide stupid things, like you're going to give your money away to someone else. You decide things like you're going to open up your house to someone else that needs it. You're going to do stupid things like drive out in the middle of the night to save that friend. Yes? Yes? Yes. That's what empathy and compassion does. It's a beautiful thing to have, but having a heart that's able to break means you need a God that's able to anchor you. Because when a heart breaks for the right reasons, it's a beautiful thing. He didn't have choice. I wrote it this way. This journey in this song, it's not for the planner. It's not for the pessimist. It's not for the bluffer. It's for the believer. It's just the believer. Because the personality test, if we were to put it through this room, you would come up with all of us being slightly different, and all the sanguines would go over there, and all the cholerics would go over there, and all the phlegmatics would be like, no, we don't care. But what brings us together, what makes people this diverse, this broad in thinking, theologically, politically, and otherwise, what makes this group of people come together as one? It's because we're all believers. We're all believers. And maybe you're not a believer today, but you're a seeker, and that's why you're here. And we're praying for you. And if you've got any questions, please ask them, because we will give you our testimony of brokenheartedness that is anchored in faith and led by love. Yeah? Amen? When you know all this, when you know your why, you will choose to sing. I just can't quite get my head around the picture of Moses standing in front of these people that have been through all of this stuff, that were looking ahead at a desert, but had just been through an ocean. And now they stand there and they say, all right, God, what do we do now? And Moses is like, let's sing. Let's remind ourselves of who God is, what he does, and why he does it. And it says he and the Israelites sang together. And there's estimates in the millions of how many people might have been there. But I'm telling you, that would have been louder than the Foo Fighters gig the other night. Which, by the way, no one got me a ticket for. But that's a big sound. And that's a joyful sound. And my friends, that's a sound I want to be a part of. I want to be part of that. I want to be part of a community of faith that keeps raising its voice, whether it's dark, whether it's light, whether it's a faith-fueled act of war or a faith-filled song of joy. I want to be part of that crew. I want to be a part of a group of people that remember why they started and continue to remind themselves of why they started and continue to have a song in their heart. So how do you celebrate good times in bad times? How do you actually do that? This is where faith separates you from anyone that doesn't have the anchor to their soul. Because I can stand in the middle of chaos, and I've done it many times. I can stand in the middle of grief, and I've done it many times. I can stand in the middle of pain and loss, and I've done it many times. And I can still sing because I remember why I sing. And my question to you is, do you? Remember what you're singing about. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is and his love endures. Remember what you're singing about. Remember how it will affect you. Remember that he is doing a good work that he will complete. That's our God. The thing that he started in you, he will complete it. Maybe not in the pattern you expected. Maybe not in the time you expected. In fact, let me just guarantee you, it won't be in the pattern you expected or the time you expected. And it certainly won't fit in your diary. I was definitely going to be a very successful rock musician touring the world by now. That was definitely going to happen. And then God said, could you just serve me in the church? I was like, but the guitar's really cool. Anybody else in that part of their journey where you remember what you were going to do and you see what God's got you doing and you're like, how did... People ask me, how did you get involved in church ministry? How did you become a pastor? I'm like, honestly, I'm here. Literally, this is my story. If I haven't told it before, I went to a church in Geelong. There was a Sunday night service, and I knew the guy that was leading worship, and he was playing guitar. And he decided he wanted to come down the stairs and pray with people, and he said, Jazz, could you come play the guitar? I'd never been to the church. So I got up and led worship, and that's how I got involved in ministry. And I'm sure you've got stories like that in your skill set and where God's calling you to be. But here's my statement. You ready for this? This is real deep. Be in the room and say yes. Be in the room and say yes. You'll know the difference between a human voice and the Holy Spirit's voice, and you'll figure it out as you mature. So there's plenty of people that want you to do stuff and use you for all sorts of reasons. But I'm saying be in the room with God. Have that moment of worship in your life, however you do that. Get into his word, get into the music. Remind yourself of who he is, why he does, how he does what he does, and why he does what he does. Remind yourself of that, because that's the anchor to your soul. Remember what you're singing about. Remember how it will affect you. And lastly, remember why you need to sing. Galatians 5:1 says, for freedom you have been set free. So do not let that yoke of slavery come on you again. You actually action that part of it. Do not let that yoke of slavery come on you again. Do you want to bow your heads and close your eyes with me? You guys can bring the lights down. I just want to give you a chance to have a holy moment. Because this is how it works. You stop. You just stop. I want you to recall to your heart a moment, 2 moments, 3 moments where you know because you know that that was God in the room with you. That grandma's knitting needles moment where you remember and the sounds and the smells are coming back to you and you remember that God did a good work. And maybe even in that moment you did sing. There have been times when I've led worship where I just led the song because I loved the song. And then there have been times when I've led worship and I've led the song because I needed to sing the song. Some of you need to sing that song of redemption, that song of hope that reminds you that He turns graves into gardens and He turns bones into armies. And He can grow churches because He's in charge of them. And churches are not buildings, they are people. And people are not just individual, not just numbers and statistics, they are stories. And they are songs, and they are testimonies. And they are stories, and they are songs, and they are testimonies. So do not hold back your story or your song or your testimony, because He who began a good work in you will take it through to completion. For freedom, you have been set free. Christian, I want to remind you that the yoke of slavery has been taken off you. You don't need to carry that guilt. You don't need to carry that shame. You need to lay that down and you need to start again fresh today. If you need that prayer prayed for you, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand and put your hand on your heart. Raise one hand in the air if you want to pray with me and put one hand on your heart. Father God, I thank you that for freedom we have been set free, and I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would do what only He can do, that He would move in every heart and change our focus. Remind us of why we sing. Remind us of where we are up to in our walk. Remind us that we have been set free, but we need to walk in freedom. And remind us how to walk in freedom. Remind us why we walk in freedom. Father God, just minister to our hearts right now and help our hearts sing. We know that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians that there was a reason that these stories were written down for us in Exodus 15. I pray that we wouldn't read them just as history, but we would read them as testimony that quite literally changed the direction of the entire world. We thank you for you that you're a God that goes before us. You're a God that's redeeming us. You're a God that keeps singing over and over us. Zephaniah 3:16, you sing over us. Remind us of that. Remind us that when the lights are on, it's a joy-filled act of worship. And in the darkness, it's a faith-filled act of war. Help us worship again. And remind us why we do it. In Jesus' name.